Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Pamela Topham, who has just finished a show of her artwork at a gallery out in the Hamptons. And she doesn't paint. She weaves. And so what comes from that are magnificent tapestries that are hung on walls here and there. Most of them are, landscapes, because they're very clear and beautiful and colorful. And some of them are more modern. I was thinking particularly about one I saw that was at the Yale Club for a very long time, which was abstract, right in the lobby when you came in. Must have been about 6 foot by eight, something like that. Very big. How long does it take you to do a weaving of that size?
That was a commissioned weaving. It was based on visiting the old campus at Yale. And I did a number of visits. I did sketches. I did photographs. And it was kind of, I didn't really have the right amount of time. They really wanted to have it by Christmas. And this was, say, maybe it was when I got that commission, which was through Elaine Benson.
How long did it take you to...
I did a rush thing where it was night and day. It took about 6 months. And it, living a normal life, it would have been longer. And I got it done before Christmas.
How did you get interested in doing these weavings? What sparked that when you were younger?
Yeah, well, I had a pretty classic art education at Syracuse University Art School. A lot of drawing, a lot of painting. I did take a little bit of costume design. I always was attracted to fabrics and things. I mean, when I was in high school, I would make some of my own clothes. I found that when doing that makes it so you can get exactly what you want. So I had an interest in fiber. And then I was on a trip to Guatemala. And I was so fascinated with all the amazing textiles there. You know, each village would have its own textiles. And I collected some of them. And then what was just, sometimes it's timing is everything. When I got back, the Guildhall in East Hampton had a tapestry class. And so I took that, and then I bought a loom, and this was a Scandinavian, a Finnish loom. It was really a project, but it happened that my teacher was Dutch, and so she understood countermarch looms, and she helped me with it. And then I thought I was going to make, like, household fibers. I thought I'd even weave curtains. I'd do something, you know, but I went in an art direction right away.
How big was this loom? Was like,
that loom was 4 feet. Now I have a different countermarch loom that's Swedish, and that's up to 6 feet. But what I use mostly is a tapestry loom. A tapestry loom is upright. And yeah, you're going, what I'm weaving is upright in front of me. And then the floor looms are usually for fabrics and things, although they could be used for art pieces. That's what I did the Yale piece on.
The Where do you have to dye the wool, or is it wool, or what product do you use to weave?
What fiber? I mostly use, I'd say wool first, silk second. I was dyeing my own silk for a while. And I had a problem where I did a piece. It was actually of Waynescott Pond, exactly the land that they just preserved for people that live near there. And we hung it in the summer. And in the winter, they had a window where the light went over it. And over time, I had some fading. And so I was able to kind of fix that. But after that, I found a wonderful place in Vancouver that offered like a choice of maybe a dozen different fibers and 40 different colors. So I was always able to get exactly what I wanted, or they could custom dye it. The yarn, the wool yarn over the years is sourced from so many places. Some of it's Scandinavian. The Australian Tapestry Workshop has 320 colors. That's a very fine yarn. I typically weave with like three and up to five different fibers at a time, so you can kind of modulate it.
Where do you work? Do you have a studio in the
I
Hamptons?
do about so it would have been about 8 years ago. I built a studio onto my house. It's my two dreams, a studio and a front porch, a big porch where you hang out in the summer. And so those have made me very, very happy. Getting in the studio is my favorite thing.
How long is a session? Do you get tired, or do you lose yourself in it?
I think I find if I start, I can focus so much that I forget to move. And I recently got an Apple Watch that says stand up. And I found it actually was useful because I could sit there very quietly for 3 hours and I don't even know how long it's been. But I'd say if I work too late, I found out a long time ago, you might be unweaving in the morning.
I see.
But you're so excited and you keep going and you go, no, that's not right.
Behind you is a we I guess it's a weaving. One would think, I guess it.
I think what you're seeing, yeah, that's actually a new thing. I did send you some of my recent images from last year, from 24. So I'm working part-time. And I spend every minute I can in the studio, other than that, an outside job. And I started doing drawing on canvas. So I ha and this is using a crayon called Caran d'Ache. It's made in Switzerland. And I paint the surface, and then I draw over it. And what you're seeing is based on an old sketch of a tree on Hedges Lane in Sagaponack. So I did about five of these. This is the one I'm currently doing a weaving from.
It what decided in your mind that you should be doing landscapes for weavings rather than any other kind of
It's kind of a funny thing. I haven't thought about that in a while because as an art student, I look down my nose at landscape artists. Like that's your granny, you know? But it's living on the East End. You're near the water. You're Aquabonic Harbor. When I lived in Springs, I felt like I don't know what I'm going to do next. So I go to Louse Point and I go, okay, I know what I'm doing next. Or I think I must have done a dozen from different angles. And then I did one of the ones I sent you was a commission from a woman who I had much earlier done a very large piece of fresh pond. And then she commissioned another piece. She owns property where she has this, the land goes out into the harbor. You could never build on it. She calls it the landing. And I did that. That was actually fell into place during the pandemic. And I was happily at home, just weaving. I'm kind of secluded because I'm on a flag lot, so I'm not on a road or anything. So I was just in my space, weaving away, and I go over there a number of times. So it's probably, I don't know what it is, 10 or 12 miles. She's on Old Stone Highway, And I go, oh, I wonder what it's like over there. Sometimes it was foggy and sometimes it was gorgeous. But being 10 feet above sea level, before you get out of the car, you spray yourself with bug spray. And you, the sunrise between Girard Drive and Akabana and Louse Point is just the best. So that was the one of the ones I sent you. And the sky is just amazing.
You had a big show, I think it was last year, Guildhall.
Yeah, Guildhall does this. I think this is such a good move. I don't know who started it. They have an annual member show. So that means you're a member, you're in. It is not prejudged. And so that's a community event. But then there's a judge. And so the judge, I think that year was from the Met. She's a curator. So the judge comes in and she, this was she in this case, picks the best like sculpture, photography, this and that and the other thing, and then the best in show, and 2 years get a one-person show, the entire gallery. And the cool thing about that is if you want to, so most of my larger pieces, a lot of them were commissioned, so they're sold. But I could use those. I could borrow those. This is a museum, a gallery. It'd have to be available for sale, and I just it was a great moment for me. And that was when Christina Strassfield was the curator, and it was just such a pleasure. And it's such a democratic system because the next year they have a different judge that has a whole different attitude. So it gives so many different people opportunities. This year I've forgotten his name, but he had a piece you must need a magnifying glass to see. I'm drawing a blank on his name, but anyway, that won the show. So I don't know how he's filling an entire gallery if he does those, because it's somebody that really looked. So it's just an opportunity that they've developed.
Tell me about the two gallery shows that you were there one or two that you were in the last couple of months?
So that was the one. There was a show at Julie Keyes Gallery, which is right next to the American Hotel. She also will be at Art Basel in Florida in December, and she just opened a gallery in New York City. It's called the Hardware Gallery or something. I haven't been there, and I've forgotten the address, but she shows really interesting variety of work.
Have you ever thought of doing something other than doing your weavings? Is that really your passion?
Well, I did do this series of drawing on canvas, and it was like this blaze of creativity. And I'd say, yeah, I think I'm done now. And I'd say, what about that? And then I caught a print that I did when I was studying with Dan Weldon caught my eye. And that was based on a sketch I did 20 years ago when I visited Napa with my daughter, and her daughter was a baby. We went to Coppola, which is like Disneyland Vineyard. And then she said to somebody, is there any place we could go and have a picnic? And they sent us next door. And there's an unmarked road. You'd never find it by yourself because it's not the thing anymore. And so we sat up on a hill and we're looking through these olive trees to a vast vineyard. So I said, no, I have to do that one. But these are abstracted, they're a little fanciful. The one that is behind me, the drawings, the way the drawing is, it's like describes the wind. So I have the wind flowing around the tree. And so that's what I'm trying to weave. It's been quite a challenge. I'm about two-thirds through it. So we'll see how that goes.
Were you born and raised out here?
No, people ask me that, but they say, if they ask me, they say, did you grow up here? I said, well, then define growing up. Because when I was 22 and I moved here, I thought I was all grown up. So I was actually born in Tennessee. My family, I would move. He moved for like a progression of jobs, and we ended up in Westchester. And that now I understand it as culture shock, moving from. And at that point, we had been in Alabama for 6 months, and I just remember the teacher didn't sound right because she didn't know how to speak proper English, and English was her only language.
This is what your dad moving around.
Yeah, this is like I was 11 and I moved to Westchester and I'd never been in diversity. So in Ossining, you have the IBM Research Center kids and then you have slums, which it's always been strange to me that the slums are by the river. That should be the best place to be.
How did you enjoy Syracuse? Was that a good experience?
Well, when I think about it, being 18, I think it was an incredible choice because I was studying. I was in heaven when I got there. I'm doing art all day. You have to take an academic or two, but I'm just drawing. I'm painting. I'm studying color and light. I'm studying lettering. I was loved it. But it's a university. So you have Maxwell School of Economics. You have the whole football scene. You have, they do have a law school. They have a general studies. They have such a variety that you're surrounded with that it's not like you know other people than the other artists. And it was wonderful to know the other artists, but you'd also, you know, meet a lot of a variety of people and have a variety of exposure to different things. It's kind of cold, but other than that.
Well, but then coming out here, how is that different from all the other places that made you want to stay and be a resident here?
Well, it was meeting someone out here made me come out here. And I had an image of Long Island. I had a roommate in college from Bayshore. So I thought that was what Long Island was like. And when I came, it was just such a surprise. It's so beautiful. I had hardly ever been at the ocean. And I love the ocean and the waterways. And, you know, I just settled in here. And this is where I live. I lived in East Hampton Village, Bridgehampton, what I call North Sagaponack, which is north of the railroad track, Springs for 12 years. And then Sag Harbor is it. This is where I'm settled. You just have to, so it's changed so much. So the way I work around the tourism in the summer is I don't go into the village after 9 o'clock in the morning for 2 months.
Well, Sag Harbor is known for its camaraderie amongst all of the residents who stroll the streets during the day and meet everybody.
Yeah, well, I see different levels of people in Sag Harbor. There's the tourist people. There's people that have such a they're so devoted to Sag Harbor. For example, so I guess that's what, 8 or 9 years ago when the cinema burned down, and I've been thinking about this a lot with what's going on in California. The cinema burned down. It didn't totally burn to the ground, but it was a serious fire. And in such a tight town, you're worried about the next building going up. And it's December, and we've had 20-mile-an-hour winds were terrible. And they had icicles hanging from their gear. And there's this whole community came together after that to buy the building, which was very expensive, and then to redo. And there's this beautiful cinema there now. And they did that. And then another one that I just loved was when the Methodists sold their church. The old church buildings are very hard to maintain. And a lot of them, the congregation's dropping. They sold the building. They built a simpler building. And it was sold 3 times. And then I would go by there because I go by there every time I go to town and it's vacant. There's nobody there. And then Eric Fischel and April Gornick bought it. And I don't think they knew exactly their intention. They're going to make it an art center. And it is incredible. Well, they just won an award for the renovation. And it's a great small art center, and this was a show. I thought of you because it's about typewriters.
Think
of all the typewriters you've had over the years.
Let's see. I guess also comment to people who don't know which church this is. This is a huge church. Must be 40 feet tall, as well as having a steeple.
It's got a steeple. It's got, you know, I think they took their stained glass windows, and you know, it was interesting. It's an example of the village. Yeah. Because they had to work with the village. It's in the historic district. You have some limitations, but they compromised. Eric Fischel did portraits in the windows of the writers and artists of Sag Harbor.
Isn't that something?
So that that would be not normal in the historic district. You know, you've got, like, I don't know what they are, 15-foot windows there. But they make a use of the facility. They have talks, book readings. They had, I went to one, it was two fly fishermen. They taught fly fishing. But the interesting thing is there were a lot of whale sightings offshore last year. And one of them had a drone and it sent it out to watch the whales over the whales. And they had a huge, there's all the bunker out there. And they would take one big bite and get 50 fish and another big bite. So I wouldn't have known that. And they happened to randomly go to that. So well, they made amazing use of the space.
Yes, I've been where they have. And it's so, we're very lucky when, and Bay Street came and the beautiful park where it used to just be.
Yep. You have the Steinbeck Park. So Steinbeck is very important in Sag Harbor. And it took a while. I remember we did a fundraiser for that and I donated a drawing. They did an auction and many people donated different things. That's the thing. What comes out in Sag Harbor is they'll do a party at Bay Street. And it'll cost like $25, $50. They did this for the Sag Harbor Cinema sign.
Well, thank you for being on the podcast. We've come out of time.
Mm-hmm. So I have a website and also Instagram where you can see my other work.
I was just about to ask you how people could contact you.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a contact through the website. And
it's the website.
It's under Pamela Topham.
Thanks for being on the podcast.
Well, thank you. It's nice to see you at a distance, 10 miles away.